for it. You know that much, at least. Well, I'll just see you safely there. And remember, girl, I don't expect to see you dodging around town this evening. If I do, it's to the captain with you, and I'll have the watch keep a lookout, too.
He urged her along, until they came to the grove entrance, marked by white stones on the ground between two trees.
You're sure this is where you're going?
Pox nodded.
Yes, sir, thank you.
She turned away, ducking into the trees, to follow the winding path picked out in white stones. In the grove was silence. Sunlight filtered through green leaves. As before, she could hear nothing of the village, close as it was. A bird sang nearby, three rising notes, over and over. Pox stopped to listen, her trembling stilled. Something rustled in the bushes off to her left, and panic rose in her throat. When a brown rabbit hopped onto the path, she almost sobbed in relief. She went on. Far over her head, leaves rustled in a light wind, but it was quiet below. Under one tree, she heard a throbbing hum, and looked up to see a haze of bees busy at the tiny yellow flowers. At last, she heard the remembered chuckling of the Quokkin's fountain, and came into the sunny glade before his dwelling. It was the same as on her first visit. The low gray bark-roofed house lay shuttered and still. Nothing moved but the water, leaping and laughing in sunlight over a stone basin. Pox stood a moment in the sunlight, watching that water. She thought of what she'd told the soldier, and how the lie had felt like truth when she told it. But there was no help for her, not this time. The Quokkin had nothing to do with what she had lost. Quokkani didn't like warriors anyway. Still, she had to stay, at least until night. She could not go back to the village. Maybe she could sneak through the grove and escape to the open country beyond. Pox sighed. She was so tired of running, tired of hiding from those who'd known her, yet she could not face them. Make an end, she thought. She slid out of the pack straps and dug into the pack for her pouch of coins, the reserve the Marshal General had given her. To it she added the coppers and two silvers from her belt pouch, a tidy pile, enough to live on for a month if she were frugal, enough for one good feast otherwise. Her mouth twisted. She scooped up the whole pile and dumped it in the offering basin. The clash and ring of it was loud and discordant. She looked in her pack for anything else of value. Nothing but her winter cloak, an extra shirt, spare boot thongs. No. There was the ring Duke Phelan had given her the day he left Finn Paneer. "Send this or bring it if you need me," he'd said. Pox stared at it. She didn't want it found on her when she pushed the thought aside and tossed the ring onto the heap of coins. She looked at her pack and decided to leave that too. The Quokkin would find someone who needed a cloak and shirt. She piled the pack on top of the money and turned away, wondering where she could hide until nightfall. Perhaps she should start through the grove now. Across the clearing, at one end of the gray house, the Quokkin stood watching her, his face shadowed by the hood of his robe. Pox rose. Her heart began to race. His voice came clear across the sound of the fountain, and yet it was not loud.
"You wished to speak to the Quokkin?"
Pox felt cold, but sweat trickled down her ribs.
"Sir, I came only to make an offering."
The Quokkin came closer. His robe, as she remembered, was dark green, patterned in shades of green and brown, with the shapes of leaves and branches.
"I see. Most who make offerings here wish a favor in return.